The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
There are some people that are going to be angry, and sometimes they don't even know why they're angry. They just know that they're angry because they are finding some things that are happening in their church that are different. They're just mad about change.
Have you heard that before? I certainly have. There is no shortage of new bright ideas in the church today. Seems like every pastor's got one, a bright idea about how to quote-unquote do church differently. And of course, there are whole organizations, parachurch organizations, devoted to teaching you and your congregation how to do church differently, how to reinvent your church, how to transition from being ineffective to more effective. They're all out there. I mean, the money spent on this kind of consulting probably would boggle the mind if the total dollar amount were known somehow. And when the opposition arises within a congregation, sometimes very well-meaning opposition within a congregation to the change that the pastor wants to bring about, be it a change in worship, a change in the way that the church is structured, a way the church governs itself, the whole direction of the church, we're told that those who oppose these changes are afraid of change. They're angry about change. And it doesn't seem as though it's ever considered perhaps these people really are concerned that these changes aren't biblical. We're going to be talking about a prominent evangelical organization called Church Transition Incorporated. Chris Roseborough joins us for the first half hour of Issues Etc. today. It's Monday, January the 11th. We're coming to you live. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is our first guest today in the second half hour. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us as usual to teach a Sunday school lesson today. We'll talk about Jesus, his first sign for his disciples. According to John's gospel, Jesus turns water into wine. In the second hour of the program, we'll spend the first part of that hour with Dr. Craig Keener of Theological Seminary, Palmer Theological Seminary of Eastern University in Pennsylvania. He's author of the book, The Historical Jesus of the Gospels. We'll talk about the historical reliability of the New Testament Gospels. Then Pastor Charlie Malley will join us. We'll talk about the church without the word. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Chris Roseborough is a regular guest, author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com, host of a daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back on, Todd.
When you bring a church consultant, a church growth consultant, to your congregation, what's generally the sales pitch?
It's we want to take your church from being unhealthy to being healthy. It's all about getting the right purposes in place so that we can focus on the people so they can have church health. And once a church is healthy, then it will grow because healthy churches automatically grow. So it's about growth, but they pitch it as we're going to help you get healthy.
So what kind of jargon, words, terminology should the average Christian be listening for from the mouth of their pastor, from the mouth of a hired consultant, church leadership, that might give them some kind of indication that their church is being approached this way?
Words to listen for are missional, relevant, seeker-driven, vision. We have a new vision for the church. And you know those are the types of buzzwords that you want to specifically be listening for, because what they basically are saying is that the pastor shepherd model isn't cutting it for us, and so we're going to abandon that, and we're going to adopt a new model altogether. We're no longer going to be selfish and do church for us. We're going to do church for the unchurched. We're going to be missional. We're going, you know, we're going to be incarnational. We're going to reach the lost of the city, and we're going to do church for the people who don't want, who don't like church.
Okay, what does all that mean, Chris?
That basically means that they've abandoned the scriptures, and it basically, that what's, how's the saying go? The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and so Christians have a natural desire within them to reach people who are not saved, to reach them with the gospel and to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what these people are basically saying is that the way you're doing church is getting in the way of you preaching the gospel. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take down all the barriers to entry in your church, and we're going to make it so that a non-Christian would feel comfortable in your church, because they're not comfortable now. They don't know your hymns. They don't like your music. They don't know your doctrine, and they don't know their way around the Bible. And so we've got to get rid of all of that in order to show them that we care about them, so that we can do church for them. We do church for unbelievers is basically what they're saying.
Okay, I mean, this has been done. This has been tried. This is, as we speak, there are consulting firms, organizations, parachurch organizations that are raking in a lot of money, going around telling congregations that they need to change, kind of this wholesale change for the sake of the church's mission. What is generally the end result of this?
The end result of it is that you go from a pastor-shepherd discipling model to a CEO corporate 100 best MBA business practices model, to where your pastor's no longer a shepherd in charge of proclaiming Christ named crucified, preaching sound doctrine, and rebuking those who contradict it, to now empowering the lay people to do ministry. That's what this is all about, empowering the lay people to do ministry. The problem is that means that the pastor's no longer going to preach from the Word. He's not going to do expository Bible teaching. He's not going to proclaim Christ and Him crucified. He's going to strip mine the Scriptures to preach to unbelievers to help them feel like we care about their felt needs. And then the job of actually fulfilling the duties of the pastoral office, which are proclaiming, basically preaching sound doctrine, forgiving sins, and rebuking those who contradict sound doctrine, that no longer the pastor's not doing that because he's a CEO. That job falls to the lady, and they're not trained to do so. The end result of this is what happens is that the body of Christ itself in that congregation loses its immune system and has now opened itself up to every heresy known to man.
We heard in the open theme from a representative of a church of Church Transitions Incorporated. What is the purpose of this particular organization?
Their goal is to basically take a church that is doing traditional worship, doing traditional church, you know, that model, and give them the tools that they need to become a seeker-driven, purpose-driven church. And basically, it's a very it's basically a thumbnail sketch of the organizational change process as it applies to a church, because we got to be, you know, they basically say you're stuck in the mud, you're backwards. In fact, in their seminar itself, Dan Sutherland goes so far as to say that if your church has pews, sing hymns, and basically follows a traditional church model, because seekers don't want to have anything to do with that, that if your church is doing that, you're actually sinning. And so they're helping you repent of your sin of being irrelevant and become hip in what's happening now.
If you raise doctrinal concerns, if a parishioner says, now wait a minute, Pastor, should we really be getting rid of sound biblical doctrinal teaching and preaching? Should we be getting rid of a form of worship or the creeds or hymns that reinforce basic Bible doctrine? Should we be throwing Jesus Christ and Him crucified out of the sermon and replacing it with, you know, pep talks for lay ministers? What will generally be the response from church leadership?
The general response will be, no, we still believe all of that stuff. We still think it's valuable. We're just going to hide that because we don't want it to be a barrier to entry for seekers. You know, they'll basically say, we subscribe to Orthodox Christianity. We believe our confessions. We believe all of that. But what we're doing is that just gets in the way of somebody who's coming to Christ. So we don't want to put any barriers up for them. So, you know, you keep in mind, we still value all of that stuff, but we're just not going to use it.
Did someone who raises, we heard it there at the beginning, someone who raises an objection is often simply labeled as afraid of or angry about change.
Mm-hmm.
How do you respond?
That's a dishonest ad hominem argument. And one of the things I've noticed that is indicative, it's a characteristic of seeker-driven, purpose-driven leadership, is that if you criticize them, you are criticizing God's vision that He's given to that pastor, and so they will never consider the depth of your argument. If you say the Scriptures say this, and you're saying this, and what you're doing is contradicting the Scripture, they won't deal with the content of it. They'll brush things aside, much in the same way that you wrote about in your article entitled "Playing the Pharisee Card." If you're complaining about them in their churches, it's because you're jealous that their churches are bigger than you, than your church, and you're just jealous because your church isn't as big. If you show the fact that they're not preaching sound doctrine, you're a Pharisee. If you resist the changes that are coming, that they're trying to implement, you're just afraid of change. Never do they ever open up the Bible and allow themselves to be critiqued honestly from the Scriptures.
When we come back from this break, one of the things that most deeply concerns me about all of this attempt to transition, change, whatever you want to call it, the church, is that it claims to be acting upon what in essence is direct revelation from God. Because they won't cite you a Bible passage to say that the church needs to throw out what has served the church so well for two millennia. What they'll do is they'll say, I have a vision. I know from God, this is what God's calling me to do. And if you oppose it, you are opposing God himself. That's a pretty bold claim to make. And if you think this doesn't matter, folks, you think this is just the church down the street, just wait. Find yourself in opposition to those who want to transition your church, to heal your church, whatever it may be, and you might find yourself labeled as a Pharisee, or even worse yet, the devil. We'll be right back. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
No consultants necessary. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features Benny Hinn.
Adam was a super being, that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. With one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play.
Joel Osteen.
You may have to weed through 100 negative thoughts before you come to the right sound. The voice of victory that's saying, you are blessed, you are prosperous, you can do all things, your best days are still ahead. Latch on to those thoughts.
Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no...
And Deepak Chopra.
How come you're all so convinced that God is a he and Satan is a he? How come we have these ideas that are so mythical, that are so primitive?
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video at issuesetc.org and click support.
I grew up on the farm. Anybody else in here grew up on the farm? Anybody? Maybe y'all can help me. What do you do with a wolf if you're herding sheep? What do you do with a wolf?
Shoot him.
That's the answer. You know what we try to do? We try to convert the wolf. Right. If you be a good wolfie, we'll let you stay in our church. Shoot the dang wolf!
That's a representative from Church Transitions Incorporated. Lest you think he's talking about false teachers, that's what Jesus says wolves are, false teachers. No, he's talking about those who oppose change in the church, the kind of transitions this consulting organization is calling for in congregation after congregation. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about Church Transitions Incorporated and organizations like them. Chris Roseborough is our guest, author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com, host of daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. You can find out more about Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Our email address on this Monday afternoon, January the 11th, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Here's Steve calling from St. Louis. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
Excellent. Great. Hey, a couple of thoughts listening to Chris. First of all, I think there's a couple of presuppositions you have to work your way through. First of all, what do they define as a, quote, unhealthy or healthy church? And I suspect that if you look at their definitions of what a healthy church is, it probably is all based on numbers and not based off of is it a healthy church doctrine. And when you confuse the two, you end up with Joel Osteen. I think the other thing they confuse is the fact is that change in itself is not good. Change itself can be detrimental, but there tends to be an underlying assumption, and I know this as a consultant, that people view if change is coming, change has to be good. Well, not all change is good.
Thank you very much, Steve. All right, to deal with both of those things, what is their definition of a healthy church or an unhealthy church, as the case may be?
Well, here's the deal. What's underlying all of this is basically they've changed the DNA of the body of Christ. Think of it this way, is that I now live in the Midwest, and we have got a lot of guys out here who grow corn. And so I get to see commercials on television for corn growing and for, you know, guys who are offering seeds when it comes to corn. Well, a lot of the seed growers out here, they actually genetically manipulate the corn seed so that it produces a higher yield. What the seeker-driven guys have done is they've actually manipulated the DNA of the body of Christ, and they've spliced into the body of Christ DNA from the corporate world in order to produce a higher yield. So in their mind, a healthy church is a growing church, and they've studied to death the best practices out there by every growing church, regardless of what that denomination teaches or confesses. They basically work from the concept that growth is good no matter which church it is that's growing. But I submit to you that Islam is growing, and that's not good. It's not good growth, and that's not from God. And so these guys, you know, they're basically applying almost a nonsensical corporate metric that has to do with growth and applying it to the church regardless of doctrine and assume that that means that the church is healthy.
Steve also asks the question, is change always good?
Well, no, change isn't always good. And, you know, in fact, if you know your Bible and you know church history, that, you know, not all change is good. There were changes that crept into Christianity during the medieval period with Aristotelianism and Thomas Aquinas' thoughts and the changing doctrines of the Pope and the people not having the Bible in their hands, and it ended up leading to a Reformation. You know, we had to go back and say, nope, this is not in the Scriptures. All of this stuff about indulgences and things like that, these are bad changes that are contrary to Scripture, and so the Reformation was all about jettisoning those changes and getting back to a pristine Christianity that focuses on Christ and Him crucified in the Scriptures alone.
And I would point out as a footnote that the Roman Church prior to the Reformation was really growing too. I mean, those things worked for growing, and they were raking in the bucks and growing exponentially.
Yep.
All right. One of the things that concerns me, I mentioned before the break, is that this is all cast as God's vision. This is either by direct revelation or the pastor's claims to have studied the Scriptures and gotten this word from God, and to oppose this, even for doctrinal reasons, is tantamount to opposing God himself.
Yeah, and that's what's gone on. What's happening here is you have this DNA of the business world. And listen, I have an MBA from Pepperdine University. I know all about the importance for an organization to have a mission and a vision statement. It helps keep an organization on task. It lets you know the things that you're not going to take up, and it keeps people focused so that they can accomplish what the company needs to set out to do, and keeps you from doing things that are outside of the scope of the business. But what these guys have done is they've spliced in DNA from the corporate world into the church. And so what happens is now that we've got this spliced DNA, you have this understanding, this belief that if the pastor can prepare himself properly, he can hear from God directly, and God will give him the vision for the church and how the church needs to change. And it's a direct revelation from God. And then what happens is that no longer are we testing things by the Bible. Instead, what happens is that anybody who opposes the vision that God gave to the CEO pastor, that person is absolutely standing in the way of God, and they've got to go because they are in sin by contradicting God's vision that he gave to Pastor so-and-so.
I mean, when I was listening to a presentation by Church Transitions Incorporated, I was shocked to hear how often it was, you know, I wish this person was opposing me, I wish they'd leave, but they won't leave, or shoot the wolf being defined as those who oppose the transition in
right.
the church. I mean, it's pretty harsh language.
Yeah, and see, that's the other part of that comes from the corporate world. Listen, if you work for Microsoft, and you're a programmer at Microsoft, and the only thing you could ever do all day long is complain about how sucky Windows is and say, I wish I worked for Apple, that's a guy that needs to go, okay? That person doesn't belong working for Microsoft. The problem is that we're not a business, and allegiance is not based upon whether or not somebody is buying into some supposed vision that a pastor had. I mean, for heaven's sakes, maybe he was just having low blood sugar, and if he had an orange, the vision would have disappeared. And, you know, instead, Christ himself is the king of the church, and he's given us his mission and vision statement, and we don't have the rights to make our own. His mission and vision statements are basically found in Luke 24 and Matthew 28, respectively. When we talk about go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and in Luke 24, he says, go and proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. When you take the two endings to Luke and to Matthew, you have a perfect, in the corporate sense of the word, mission and vision statement given by Jesus. We don't have a right to go making up our own or claiming that it's from God. That is blasphemy and the sin of basically taking the Lord's name in vain.
Daniel in Iowa City emails us, the Christian church's problem isn't growth or mission or change. The real problem is sin. In the end, the answer cannot be that complicated. Teach and preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. Yes, it is hard to believe that these things will work. However, getting things to work isn't about getting more members or increased congregational involvement. It's about proclaiming the gospel and delivering forgiveness to sinners. Your thoughts there on Daniel in Iowa City's comment. We've got about a minute and a half.
He's absolutely spot on. What really all of these CEO methods and ideas and transitions basically show is a complete lack of faith in God's word, that God's word will accomplish what Christ said it will accomplish. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Pastors need to be out there proclaiming the word, administering the sacraments, and letting God work on building his church. Because Christ says, I will build my church. Not you, not your methods, not your CEO programs, but Christ is the one who builds the church. And the church is bigger than your individual congregation. And if Christ so chooses to kill your congregation, let it dwindle to nothing and to non-existence, then that's his prerogative to do so. He's the sovereign Lord of the church.
Chris Roseborough is author of the blog ExtremeTheology.com. He's host of a daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
My wife and I watched this show called The Biggest Loser. You've probably seen it too. You've seen commercials for it. People who are morbidly obese. They come, they spend some time on the ranch, they work out 24/7, they compete with one another, and the transformation is unbelievable. In about 6 months, some of these people go from being morbidly obese and almost dead in terms of their body functions to healthy people running marathons, exercising every day. Now, before they came to the ranch. One of these guys, over 500 pounds. Now, before he came to the ranch, he sat and he ate and he ate and he ate and he ate junk food and he grew. It wasn't good growth. It was very unhealthy growth. He comes to the ranch, he works out, and after Bob and Jillian are done with this guy, maybe he'll be 175 pounds. He got smaller, but far more healthy. Added years to his life. Got his whole life back. He shrunk, though, didn't he? Now, you ask that guy after he's lost 250 pounds or 300 pounds, whether when he was sitting on the couch, eating a gallon of ice cream every night, watching television, and growing up to 500 pounds, you ask him whether or not he was really growing. He'll tell you, nope, I was dying. You ask him after he's done and he's lost all that weight and he's healthy again and he can run and walk and do all those things that a healthy human being can do, and yet he's much smaller. You ask him if he's grown, he'll tell you, I may have gotten smaller, but I've grown. That's how the church is. Fed with the Word of God, healthy upon God's pure Word, and that's it. That's all the church lives on. The Word of God, that's all that grows the church the way God wants to grow the church. You have morbidly obese, eating junk food, or you have healthy, feasting upon the Word of God. And maybe even smaller. We'll be right back to talk about the church without the Word. Stay tuned. The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Not only is this a new year, it's a new decade. But 2010 brings with it some huge challenges for America's unborn babies. We have the most pro-abortion president and Congress in our nation's history. Even so, we can't give up or give in to the evil forces facing us. This year, Life Issues adopted a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as our guiding scripture. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. With this in mind, rededicate yourself to boldly and with love speaking out for those too tiny or defenseless to defend themselves.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.